You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it's everyone's favorite Teletubby. Drew Gasparini here with another amazing episode of Now We're Talking, the podcast that always has something in its teeth. Our guest today is a joy. He's a rising star whose hair is competing for top billing. He's a Jimmy Award finalist, an actor and singer for the stage and screen. You all know him for his amazing work as Phoenix in the original Broadway cast of Jagged Little Pill, and soon you'll be able to see him star as Will in the new TV thriller Safe Haven. He's young, he's talented, and good-looking, which means we're all allowed to hate him as much as we want. Unfortunately, it's impossible because he's so darn lovable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy he stopped by the podcast. Now we're talking with Antonio Cipriano. But honestly, you're probably lucky that you're not here with me because I just right now farted. Right now.
Really?
Right now. So
I honestly wish I was with you to share this experience with you.
I love that you look at a fart as an experience. That's something you and I already, right out of the bat, have in common. Actually, Antonio, we're recording right now. Let's get this boy rolling. We are of the Italian cloth, both you and I. Don't you love being Italian? I don't know why people have a fascination with, like, the murderous mobster background of our ancestors, but people seem to be drawn to that shit.
Dude, it's where I'm from Sicily. Like that's where all that shit was going on. So,
are you actually from Sicily?
Oh God, no. I mean, my grandparent, my mom's dad is from Sicily. Yeah.
So, oh wow. Okay, so your mom is first generation in this country, just like mine. My dad's first language was Italian, and then growing up, he didn't want to teach us Italian because he went to Catholic school and the nuns used to beat the shit out of him for not speaking English. It's like, how backwards is that shit?
Really?
Yeah,
100%. Wait,
and I regret never having learned Italian. I don't. And my noni comes over and she is talking to me and she kind of has broken English, but mostly Italian. The older she gets, especially, she's kind of like, this is what I remember best. So I'm going to just be speaking Italian. I can't talk to the fucking woman because my dad never taught me his native tongue. God damn it.
I know. And I literally know nobody in my family who can speak Italian. Like my mom's dad literally came, but he passed away when my mom was five. Sorry to get dark. But so that's probably why she never learned. But like even my Nona, like she doesn't know much Italian. And like,
good Lord, we were gypped. You and I were gypped. I'm sure if people put us side by side, they'd both say, well, you both got the Italian good looks. And obviously the hair. No one can see you. That's the nature of a podcast. But sweet, fancy fucking Jesus, your hair is 1,000 inches longer than the last time I saw it. It's like for every hair I lose, you gain another inch on your head of hair.
Yeah, it's been a while since I have been in a haircut place. Because
those are called barbershops or salons. I'm sad that you struggled to find that.
I truly could not figure out what it was called, so I said haircut. So
oh my God, a year! This is really good for a year. You got some good headway here. Is the plan to keep it going? A couple people asked this on Twitter, by the way, so I'm going to speak on their behalf. But like, is the plan to like keep it going to a certain length and then chop, or are you just going to see what happens and go where the wind blows?
I have had the mentality of just seeing what happens because I've never been able to grow it out this long, and I've never like not had something to do where I needed to have my hair looking okay. So yeah, I was like, I'm just going to grow it out and see what happens because I've always wanted to do it. So, I mean, I don't know. I may have to cut it for a job that comes up. You never know. But
I talked about this when Amber Artolino was on the podcast. We talked about the fact that she has Sicilian blood and my Italian blood is from the mountains. And the star, people know what you look like. If you don't, for the love of God, please go Google Antonio. But he's got no sleeves right now. He's got this tan skin. He's got the muscles. He's got the height. He looks good. He's a very handsome man. He's got hair going down to his shoulders. And if you put us really side by side, I look like a welcome mat. I am so covered in body hair. It's just disgusting. I could literally shave a paragraph into my chest hair and you'd be able to read what I just shaved. In fact, I did. Take a look. Wouldn't that be amazing if I actually did that for you?
Yeah, I don't have much chest hair yet. It's coming.
Yet. He's a young buck, kids. He's a young buck.
Look, my dad said that his chest hair came in gray because it came in so late. So like that's what's going to happen. Yeah, he started getting chest. Now he's got a lot of it, but he started getting it at like 30.
You see, puberty literally never ends. I didn't have hair on my ass my whole life, but now I just can't have enough hair on my ass. I don't know what happened to me. It's unfair. All I'm saying is the genetic pool, it's unfair the way it was divvied up between you and me, as if we have anything to do with each other. Antonio, I do very little research for these things. You have to forgive me.
Oh, good. That's okay if you know nothing.
But I did discover, this is just a fun little small factoid for those of you who like theater trivia. My brother, Danny Gasparini, who I reference in a lot of songs that I write, his birthday is May 13th.
You're kidding.
That's your birthday, huh?
That is my birthday and Stevie Wonder's birthday. And
Stevie Wonder's birthday. It's Matt Doyle's birthday. I don't know if you knew that. What? Matt Doyle.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
A lot of important people have birthdays.
A lot of important people. You, exactly. Yeah. You, Matt Doyle, those important people. As a Taurus, I don't know if I buy into all the astrological shit, but do you feel like a Taurus?
I truly have no idea. I think I do. I forget what it means most of the time, and I don't
means
know.
It means stubborn and well hung. Now again, do you think you're a Taurus?
Loosely yes. And I don't know like my moon and rising signs. I have friends who like, go on CoStar. They're like, "What's your birthday?" and all this stuff, and like, "What's the time you were born?" and I'm like, I don't know. And they're like,
You gotta know really specific shit. I'm amazed that people know the hour and minute that they were born. That kind of blows my mind.
It's insane. And then they expect my mom to know. And it's like, my mom was dying when this was happening. So like, how are you supposed to know?
But like, not actually dying.
No, not actually dying.
She's just to clarify, your mom is alive and well.
My mother is alive and well and incredible.
And thank you. She was going through a great deal of trauma because she was going through labor. She was giving birth. I understand what you're trying to say. So, Antonio, I became obsessed with you about a year ago.
And I became obsessed with you about 3 years ago.
Well, that's awfully sweet of you, because I never feel like people know who I am, and I just write songs and off they go, and I never see the light of day. They never see the light of day ever again. They all live and die at 54 below. That's what I say about most of my songs. But I became obsessed, and I remember last year around this time, I was basically harassing you because I am so hellbent on making sure that you play Daniel LaRusso in the upcoming Karate Kid musical that I am grateful and fortunate enough to be writing.
Yeah.
Did I scare you away? Because it hasn't happened yet. You did not do the workshop. There was obvious reasons you didn't. There was a vocal thing going on. But I hope I didn't deter you from considering it down the line.
You 100% did not scare me away. There were a lot of things going on. I don't even think, did we know about COVID at the time? Like, was it?
We didn't know about COVID. I think it was beginning of February. Things were really slowly percolating around this time, but your issue at the time was
back from like sort of like a vocal thing going on. So I was like, I cannot do double duty again because I had just done a workshop and the show at the same time.
Right.
And that's kind of what caused me to like run myself into the ground.
And that workshop was for The Notebook with Ingrid Michaelson.
Yes.
So what all I'm gathering is you will double duty for a bigger name. That's what it is.
Absolutely not. I just will double duty for someone before I hurt my voice and then.
Great, great. No, I understand now. I see where I stand in your lineup of who's important. Antonio, again, I really can't thank you enough for doing this with me. Before we get into the silly questions I really have in mind to ask you, and they are silly, and I don't want you to take them seriously, and if I offend you, well then, you gotta sack up, man. I want to know more about you, my friend, because what I love, we had Rachel Zegler on yesterday, who I think is amazing, and people like you and Kat Gallagher and Rachel, there is, and Renee, and all, there's like this core crew of young Broadway people expanding into other mediums of show business. But what I love about it is this fandom that is, people latch onto you guys. I mean, they really latch onto you. They see so much of themselves in you because you guys are this amazing new talented generation. And the talent speaks for itself. Anybody go find the videos of this guy on TikTok and everywhere else you look at fucking content online. But how did you become this guy who is so accepting of the great fortune he has in terms of what you are doing and the amount of people who flock to you and love you and this whole crew of people I just mentioned? And that's just a small handful of those people. Who were you growing up? I mean, you haven't gotten your chest hair yet. We've covered that. But leading up to now, what was your childhood like? Do you have siblings? What's your family dynamic? You're Italian, so I get a bit of that. But tell us what that was like.
Yeah, so, well, thank you for all the kind words, by the way. That was very sweet. I grew up, and since I was like 5 years old, there's like video evidence of me and my siblings like jamming and singing on the table in the kitchen and just like going crazy. My parents were like, we need to do something about this insane like thing that's going on with him. We don't know what's happening, so we need to put him in a play. Like, we need to put him in a theater camp. So I did High School Musical, and I was Zeke.
Okay.
In my musical when I was 8 years old, and then I just kept doing shows for the rest of my life. Well, up until now, and then everything.
You were in High School Musical when you were 8.
Yes.
So I know it's like funny when you're like, when you see like a 15-year-old girl playing Widow Peru in The Music Man. I think it's extra weird when there's an 8-year-old doing High School Musical, basically High School Musical Junior. Is that what this was? Yeah,
that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. And I was Zeke. It was like the best thing ever. I was talking about making creme brulee. I had no idea what that was. I didn't know anything. I have pictures and I cannot find them, but I've seen them and I'm literally 3 feet tall, like standing on this lunch table, just like singing. Oh my.
I love that. I love that. And the quote of the century right there is, I was 8 years old. I literally didn't know anything, because nobody knows anything when they're 8 years old. There's like a lack of knowledge when you're 8 years old, a giant gap of knowledge.
Yeah, it was quite a time, but it was the best thing ever. And then I just kept, I was doing like 3 or 4 shows a year in like high school, community theater, a bunch of other stuff, whatever I could do.
Yeah.
But I was also playing like a bunch of sports at the same time. Like, I played baseball up until my junior year of high school.
Okay.
And I played all the other sports and stuff like that. So I had a pretty well-rounded childhood, and I had an older brother who also played all the sports, and we just kind of were best friends growing up. He's only 2 years older than me.
Yeah.
And a younger sister who's 2 years younger than me. And my parents were always so supportive of everything I did. So it was great to have that support system and the family that I had and the life that I grew up in. So I don't know. I was very fortunate. And
yeah, I'm disgusted by all of this. It's like, brother number one, 2 years later, here comes Antonio. 2 years later, here comes little sister. You had supportive parents the whole time. You excelled at sports and theater. Give us a break, okay?
It was great. I wanted to be Troy Bolton my whole life. So I just kind of, I stuck to that. Once I saw the musical, I was like, I'm going to play sports and be a singer. It's going to be great. And, you know, I tried my best. I didn't end up becoming a professional basketball player.
Well, you're still young. I think that could still happen. The NBA is always looking for new people, new recruits. And I hear a lot of the NBA and a lot of the national, what is it? The Major League Baseball. They're going to come around. This is how, look at all the theater posters back here. And I'm talking about fucking sports right now. But I love the idea that they come to a Broadway show and they go, I think this kid has what it takes to play for the pros. I love the idea of you getting picked up by someone seeing Jagged Little Pill, and then all of a sudden you're playing for the Yankees or something.
Absolutely. I did, have you ever heard of the show God Friended Me?
Yeah.
It's on CBS. So I did a guest appearance on that show and I played a baseball player and it was awesome.
It's all coming together, man.
I could have been drafted. You never know.
You do have a charming ability to stay. Well, you know, I don't know what kind of a shithead you are behind closed doors, but
awful.
Yeah, I bet you're a nightmare, but you really do seem to have a sense of humility, and there's like, you seem humble about the things that you do because it looks like there's an acknowledgement that you're quite lucky getting to do the things you do. Is that correct?
Of course. The number one thing my dad always taught me was you got to stay humble. I mean, if you are not that, you are literally nothing. So
yeah. If
you don't appreciate the things that are around you, if you don't appreciate the things that you have, what's the point of having them? You know, so
exactly.
That's what I live by all the time.
But being in show business, I'm sure you've seen examples of people having all of this and them absolutely taking it for granted or not taking advantage of the opportunities or not being as thankful as one should. Do you see a little bit of that show business?
Yeah, but I have gotten pretty lucky. I mean, a lot of the people that I've worked with have been amazing and amazing role models, like Derek and like Catherine and so many of those. A lot of the people just in Jagged are such down-to-earth, amazing people, even with all the amazing things they've done.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've had really good role models.
And going from Alanis to Ingrid Michaelson, you're only going to work with these heavy hitting female pop rock stars.
Those are the only people I work with. Andrew Gasparini.
Well, I also qualify myself as a female heavy hitting pop singer songwriter. So of course, that's where I already live.
Yeah.
Okay. So you say you're close with your brother. How's your relationship with your sister? What are their names, by the way? Let's give them a shout.
My brother's name is, so I called him Joey growing up, but now he goes by Joe Cipriano.
Okay.
He just graduated college this past year.
Congrats, Joe.
He's killing it at a company called Keyence, and he's doing amazing, and I'm so proud of him.
That's awesome. What is the company? I love that you just say he's killing it at this company. It's like when you're a little kid and you see your dad go to work and they say, what does your dad do? Well, he carries a briefcase. That's as far as I got.
I honestly didn't know much about it until recently when I finally asked him what the hell he was doing. But his company sells this like incredible one-of-a-kind 3D printer that is like super futuristic and very cool, and he's a salesman pretty much, and he's doing it. Like he already got he's gotten a few raises already. Like he's
Get
like
it, Joe.
An employee. I'm gonna brag on my brother a little bit.
That's great.
So and my sister is a freshman in college at Michigan State.
Oh, amazing. And, what is she doing at Michigan? Is she trying to do the actor thing?
No. I'm the only one who did the acting thing, except my brother did Grease with me in high school when he was a senior and I was a sophomore. I played Danny and he played Kaneki. It was the best thing ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
The best thing ever. But my sister, she did dance her whole life up until like not really her whole life, like eighth grade. But
yeah, sure.
She's still figuring out her major.
Yeah.
There's so many. It's hard this year. I mean, doing it remotely is like the worst.
I can't imagine. My heart breaks for so many of these students. I'm teaching master classes to theater programs, and it's like it hurts.
Do you do that online? I don't understand.
I try to be as hilarious to these kids as possible because they look so miserable. I'm just trying to crack a smile, you know?
I know.
And you're close with your sister, it sounds like. What a brood. I mean, like, good Lord.
What
a brood, like what a clan. You never heard the word brood, like a family?
Yes, I have. I just totally, as I said, I blanked on the haircut place, but
you're in the COVID fog. We're all in that fog together. But did you skip out on college? Did you go right into show business?
I did, yeah. So my senior year of high school is when I booked Jagged, the workshop. Yeah. So then I graduated in March of my senior year and went to Boston. And then I actually, during my senior year, I did audition for college programs and stuff, and I got into Pace, and I was going to be going. Like I accepted it and I was like ready to go. And like a week before that started, we got the schedule for Jagged for the next year. And they were like, whoa, you're going to like miss a lot. So don't come. I was like, oh, okay.
Whoa.
In a really nice way. That was.
Yeah. I was like, that's like a harsh letter. Like you're going to miss a lot. Don't come to our school.
Pretty much what they were saying is you won't be able to like learn as much as you would want. So you can come back anytime. Like your acceptance is always welcome.
Yeah.
Come. We just recommend that, you know, maybe take the year to focus on Jagged and maybe come back.
That's really cool of them. And you know what, just to give acknowledgement to that, because I have worked at so many of these theater programs around the country, just doing masterclasses and concerts of my junk. And what I learned from Pace is that they really want their students to audition and to explore the professional realm of show business. And a lot of colleges say, don't audition until you graduate.
It blows my mind. I'm
what
like,
the fuck is that? What? Like, how is that even, that's, how does that help a student at all?
It doesn't at all. And I that's why I chose Pace. Cause I got into a few other schools and I was like, I want to be in New York and I want to be able to audition because I'm already kind of, I sort of got a taste of the I hate saying professional, but the other world. And
it is professional. It's okay. You're getting paid. That's what professional means.
I got a taste of it. And I was like, I want to, we'll do that. And maybe I never liked school. I never liked school and I never wanted to go.
Yeah.
So it wasn't really for me. And I was kind of excited when they told me not to come. I was like, okay, thank God.
Yeah.
But
I was so miserable in school. Check this out. I think I mentioned this in another podcast. Maybe Bonnie Milligan and I were talking about this, but I was so hated in high school. What? Because of, well, I was loved. I was homecoming king. I did okay.
Oh, okay.
I was so hated after the fact because people found out I would literally charm my way to a passing grade. I would sit the teacher down and say, listen, we both know that algebra is not my thing. We both understand that I'm never going to use this ever again. Please let me graduate. What can we do so I can graduate? And then the teacher would be like, listen, if you write a song every Friday and perform it for the class, a new song, and you put in the work and I see that you're doing the work, I will curve your grade.
Wow. Yeah, because we're the exact same person. So I did that in French class. For my final, I was like, listen, I don't know anything that's going on in class right now. Please let me sing a song for my final. And I did. And I was like, toi, tout moi, plus tout there. And then I got a passing grade. And
I'm going to one-up you. Again, I think I've mentioned this story in the past. If not on this podcast, then I was on somebody else's podcast. I lose track. I did a lot of drugs in my 20s. But this was for Spanish class. My teacher came up to me because I didn't even care. Like I just wasn't coming to class or wasn't even doing the homework. But I was like, yo, Senora Lowry, what's up, girl? I was just like palling up with her. And she goes, listen, you're going to fail this class. So here's the deal I'll strike with you. If you learn a song in Spanish and you come sing it for the class, I'll give you a passing grade. And I said, okay, wow, holy shit. You're giving me the opportunity of a lifetime. So the day of the final, I show up. And I sing Yesterday by the Beatles in English.
Oh.
And she still passed me. I didn't even learn a song in Spanish. I didn't even try. I put no effort into doing the task that she asked of me. And I was like, my songs are more important than doing what you're telling me. Oh. I'm just going to sing a song I know. Here's Yesterday from the Beatles, kids. And the whole class was like, why did he thank you for doing that, but what was that? And then I sat down and then I passed and I graduated. And look at me now, kids. I'm writing Karate Kid. I'm the next big thing.
You are the next big thing. Shit. Oh my God.
You're the current big thing. You got a lot going on in your life. What's the haps right now? Tell us what's cooking.
So, I mean, the whole past, has it been 10 or 11 months, however long?
I was going to say years, but yeah, it's been about 11 months.
Yeah. I've been unemployed pretty much. I've done a few small things here and there. I've recorded some things like for other like cast albums and stuff like that and concept albums. And then recently in the last 4 months, I believe, I was lucky enough to book a TV show. And I'm going to be a series regular on a show called Safe Haven.
That's a
thriller series. And that is the most ironic thing ever because I hate horror. So
yeah, listen,
I'm I'm freaked out of it. Like, I cannot watch horror movies at all. And I don't even care if people, like, make fun of me for it. I truly don't care. I hate it so much.
Dude, same here. I cannot watch horror at all. And the problem I've always had, first of all, big, like, hold for applause. Congratulations. Safe haven. That's going to be a massive thing. Yeah, I'm very, very excited for you. Very happy for you. In terms of the thriller genre, I am so with you there. I get bad dreams easily, like, oh, way God. Too easily. And my mind plays tricks on me. Like, anytime I'm closing my eyes and, like, shampooing my hair, well, what used to be hair, now it's just my head. When I'm shampooing my head, I'll open my eyes thinking there's somebody right in front of me.
Yeah,
all the time.
Yeah, every time.
It is a nightmare for me. And Alex Brightman and I, the very first thing that we ever wrote together, because he's not just my pal, he is my writing partner in a number of things, is a musical called Make Me Bad. And a lot of people know this song Circus that comes from that musical.
I heard that one. It's creepy, isn't it?
It's very creepy. But the whole show, even though I wrote it, I cannot even watch the show. I am so fucking scared of that show. Alex Brightman wrote such a scary book. You know where we workshopped it, actually? It was Pace University. That was the first place we workshopped that place. Yeah. Another reason I think Pace is very, very cool.
Yeah.
Well, I love hearing a little bit about the family dynamic, and I love seeing where you are now. Talking about that unemployment in the last year, just like most of show business, and especially the theater community.
Right.
Look at me. I have a fucking podcast now. This is where we are in the
world.
And
you're like the best podcast person I've ever met in my life. Oh my
God. Hey, come on. Tell your friends. Subscribe and rate. That's very kind of you. I really appreciate that. But I want to know what you've been doing with your time aside from continuing the hustle, taking the opportunities when they come. When Jagged said, we got to shut down like the rest of the industry. And by the way, I think I told you, but I saw the show, Fuck Me, You're So Good. And the show is so good. Thank and I you. Came with the writer of Karate Kid just so he could see you and be like, that's really? The guy. I'm yeah, absolutely, 100%. So. And this was like, I'm not kidding, days before the shutdown. This was.
I didn't. Oh, so I wouldn't have even been able to see you because we couldn't have any backstage guests or anything.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't let you know I was coming either. We like popped in and we had to dip to get to something right after. So it was not an issue. But you were tremendous. When the shutdown happened, what was the initial? What do I do? Like, what happened to your poor young, new to this business brain?
Yeah, so it's kind of weird because I had just gotten over the vocal situation that I was having and I was tired. Like, I was exhausted doing this because I do Phoenix, but I also sing every single song in the show and dance every single song that there's a dance to in the ensemble. So it is a marathon every single night. I'm very grateful for that. I mean, I learned a lot in my first years doing this. So at the point of the shutdown, I thought we were going to be shut down for maybe a month at the most. So I was honestly kind of like, oh, let me take a deep breath. Let me relax. I get to breathe for a second. This is nice.
Yeah.
And then it just kept getting extended and extended. And I was like, whoa, what? Wait a second.
Yeah. Where is it going?
What's going on? This is weird. And then it was probably around like June that like the weird, not to, just like this cloud came over and I was like, wait a second, this is real. Like we are still in this. And I think around June they said that it wouldn't come back until like December. And I was like, oh, okay, damn. So it was not an easy thing to go through at all. It was also kind of nice. You know, I got to be with my family for a little bit. I hadn't really been able to see much of my family over the past few years.
Yeah.
And you know, it was a silver, there were a few silver linings, but it was ultimately
devastation.
Not, yeah. Yeah.
Are you excited for the return of Broadway? Obviously, I mean, like what sicko would say, no, I don't want Broadway to come back. But like, are you excited for the return of Broadway? And I'm imagining Jagged is part of that return.
Yeah, I, of course, I'm excited for the return of Broadway. I mean, when I was back in New York City for a few months, just like walking around at 7 o'clock at night and nothing is happening in the streets. Like it was
eerie.
It was weird. I was like, what is going on right now? This is like, it doesn't look this like the same place.
Yeah. I had moments when I would be walking through Times Square and just have full on, I would break down sobbing. I couldn't even control it. It was like heaving tears. I looked like all the people I see leaving Ripley Greer after an audition. Just just defeated, sobbing, no hope, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, it was, I'm so excited for the return. We don't know when that will be. We still don't know. I heard Dr. Fauci said like at least 90% of the population has to have it before live theater can come back. I'm like, have the vaccine. Yeah. I'm like, okay, we just reached 1% yesterday. Woo!
Yahoo!
So that is kind of sad to hear. But yeah, I what was the second half of your question?
I don't even remember. Again, the drugs I did in my 20s. But just to hop on to that 1% versus the 90%, let's acknowledge, like, isn't it amazing? This is why I love musical theater. Like, I love getting to do things for film and TV whenever I get the chance to do those types of things. But the reason I always come back to musical theater is because look at the attitudes of these people just saying, just hang tight because we want to come back. Like, everybody is so fucking hungry for it. You feel it viscerally. Right. All of us. There's such a buzz that connects all of us, even if we don't know each other. All musical theater kids kind of unite, you know. Right. I love that vibe. So I have no fear that it's going to come back with a vengeance, and I can't wait to see how and how big it's going to feel.
And there are so many awesome new projects that are happening, like Ratatouille, Bridgerton, like all Bridgerton. Of these awesome things, man.
Antonio,
yes,
we're gonna play a silly little game. Would you mind playing with me?
I cannot wait.
Are you familiar with the game Fuck, Marry, Kill?
I am, and I am nervous now. What is going on? Shit.
What have you gotten yourself into? While Antonio sweats it out, I just wanted to interrupt real quick and say, hey, everybody, the way we like to support our guests is by reminding you to keep your thumb on the pulse of what they've got going on. You can follow Antonio on Instagram and Twitter. Just find Antonio Cipriano and keep tabs on the cool things he has coming up. These young and talented people take the time to be on this podcast to be really silly with me. The least you can do is go follow their asses on social media. And hey, while we're talking about following people and giving them needless attention, follow my ass on social media and also subscribe to this podcast. Again, if you've already done that, tell your grandma, your uncle, your aunt, your mom, your dad, your friends, your sister, your brothers.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
We're going to play Fuck, Marry, Kill. You don't have to say fuck. I'll continue to say fuck. If you don't want to say fuck because you have young fans, that's fine. But kids, I'm sorry. I don't know who decided fuck was a bad word. It's just a word
really,
like
it is not, by any means.
And you're Sicilian. That's like part of your second nature here.
Yeah.
Fuck, Marry, Kill, Broadway edition. Okay? Are you with me here?
Okay. It's not actual people, please, right?
These are characters.
Okay.
Sort of. And then we'll see. But here we go. Broadway edition. Fuck, Marry, Kill, Jean Valjean, Billy Flynn, and Papa Gay from Once on This Island. Fuck, Marry, Kill, how would you categorize those? Again, it's Jean Valjean from Les Mis, Billy Flynn from Chicago. Is that his name? Billy Flynn, right?
I think so.
I don't know anything about musical theater. Jean Valjean, Billy Flynn from Chicago, and Papa Gay, the god of death from Once on This Island. Who would you fuck? Who would you marry? Who would you kill? The world wants to know. Antonio, what are your answers?
Well, I know that Jean Valjean is my dream role. So okay. I'm going to marry Jean Valjean because
I love that.
That is for the long term, for when I'm older. That,
and also, he's like the mayor. He's probably well off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I know, spoiler alert, that he, dies. But
he dies. Yeah, no, the musical came out 40 years ago. I think people are hip to the fact that he doesn't make it. Also called Les Mis, like the Miserables. Everybody dies.
Yeah, definitely Mary Jean. Billy Flynn, is that his name again?
Billy Flynn, yeah. That's the name I gave him. I honestly don't know if that is his name.
So I don't know. I mean, so who is Papa Gay? Which one is it again?
Papa Gay is the god of death in Once on This Island. I'm trying to think of a song. I can't think of the words, but it's arrogant fool, something da ba ba ba, ha 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 ha, da da, go 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 gito ti. That's right, the Papa Gay.
Fuck Papa Gay.
My man.
Okay. Billy Flynn, because he's in Chicago. I shoot him.
Yeah, and he's out of his mind. He's a corrupt lawyer. Absolutely. He's a bad guy. You and I have the same exact taste in this respect. I would absolutely marry Jean Valjean. I would fuck Papa Gay. And I bet Papa Gay is crazy enough that's a good lay. I'm just going to say it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
it'll be great. And Billy Flynn, sayonara, my man. Okay, next set of three. Maureen from Rent.
Okay.
Mama Rose from Gypsy. And Regina George from Mean Girls. Fuck, marry, kill. What do you think?
Oh God!
He's rubbing his head as if one of these answers is going to get him in trouble with somebody, and it won't. How could it possibly? Anyway, Maureen from Rent, Mama Rose from Gypsy, Regina George from Mean Girls, Fuck, Mary, Kill, Antonio. The world wants to know.
All right, this is strictly characters.
Strictly characters, not who played these characters.
Okay.
Don't you worry.
Cool. I'm Mama Rose. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to kill you. No hard feelings. I think you're great, and you are a star. Marry Regina.
Marry Regina.
And Maureen.
And then and fuck Maureen. Maureen would be the best lay, I think. And Regina, you get security because she comes from money. I think that's I always look at the bank account. I always look at the bank account. And Mama Rose is out of her mind, and she like exploited her children.
Wild, but she's still a star. You know,
she's still a star. All right, the final bonus round of Fuck, Marry, Kill. Here it is, the last one.
Here we go.
Fuck, Marry, Kill. Lin-Manuel Miranda, Lord Andrew Lloyd Webber, and Sir Drew Gasparini. Fuck, Marry, Kill. Tell us your opinion on that, please.
Drew, let's get married, my man.
My man, I'm with you all the way.
Because
one of them, after they hear this, won't hire you. Just
know. No hard feelings to any of these guys. They're amazing.
Of course not, Antonio.
This is all geniuses. This is truly just for the game. I'm gonna have to kill Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Good.
But not because of anything other than the fact that it's the game and I must kill somebody.
No. You're killing him because of Cats the movie. That is why you are killing him.
Oh, no.
At least that's why I'm killing him. Hey, shit. And you know what? Lin-Manuel, again, look at that bank account. They both do very well, but Lin didn't make Cats. You got to weigh out the options here.
Yeah.
All right. Antonio, I have a bunch of quick answer if you got them games for our questions for you, rather. So real quick, if you can, you said you're not a fan of horror.
Not at all.
What is your biggest fear?
Biggest fear. Do I have like a time bomb? Like
Not at all. These are just quick questions. Take your time with the answer.
My biggest fear growing up was spiders. I hate them.
Yeah.
More of an anger. I hate them so much.
Yeah.
I've grown to like not be as scared. I just kill them because I hate them.
You know what I do when I see a spider in my house?
Mm-hmm.
I burn the house down and I move somewhere else.
There you go.
I really hate spiders a lot.
Drew, I'm realizing we are pretty much the exact same person.
Same human after being.
All
from
of the things that we're talking about.
Right? Absolutely. Look at our hair together, even the hair.
Yeah.
So it's not spiders anymore, though. What do you think the biggest fear is? Or is it still spiders? Would you chalk it up to that?
My biggest fear is unemployment.
Wow, that's spoken like a true actor, I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
You know what my biggest fear is? My biggest fear in the entire world, and this is not to be funny at all, it is being on the subway and having to take a shit. That's my biggest fear.
That's especially rush hour subway.
Dude, and what, like, you sometimes you're just stuck between two stops and you're there for 20 minutes and you're what? Like, I'm counting down the seconds now.
And also being on stage.
Oh.
Having to take a shit.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine.
I won't say it, but I'll text you who you can ask about a story.
Okay.
I don't want to expose him.
Oh, my God. I hope it's Derek. All right, next question for you. What's the most embarrassing thing that has happened to you on stage, speaking of that?
This was embarrassing, but also like one of the best things that's ever happened to me. During Ironic, they throw paper airplanes at us. Mm-hmm. When I'm like, I'm not seeing anyone. And then like, boom, throw the airplanes. Ez has a perfect angle right at my hair.
Mm-hmm.
So he throws it and it gets stuck in my hair. And
perfect.
The whole audience just like broke down. It was the best thing ever. And me and Celia could not finish the song. Like, actually, we were laughing through the rest of the song.
Was it just stuck there the whole song? Like,
no,
just
it stuck there. And then I was like... But it was one of the best things.
You played it well.
Yeah.
Here's a fun story. It doesn't have to do with me on stage, but my father, this is an adorable moment between my parents. They do community theater from time to time in my hometown in the San Francisco Bay Area. And they were doing a production of Once Upon a Mattress. You know that old musical, Once Upon a Mattress?
Yeah.
And my mother was playing the Princess Winifred, and my dad was playing Prince Dauntless. And he's got this huge, like, 5-minute song, the one that's like, I'm in love with a girl named Fred, she blah, 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 blah. And it's every, there's like 1,000 stanzas to this song. And he mm-hmm. forgot the lyrics right at the top. At the top of the song, and he didn't know what to do, but the orchestra, and I was playing bass in the orchestra, that's why I got to watch this whole thing, the orchestra kept going, and he was just like looking around like in dead silence, but there's a chorus with the ensemble that keeps coming back in, and they go, with an F and an R and an A and an D and F-R-E-D Fred. So it was dead silence, and then the ensemble would sing their thing, and then it was just my dad like looking around blank, and the poor guy was mortified, but it's such a great memory for me.
I've messed up. I've forgotten the words before. I had like a red curtain solo in high school, and it was Something's Coming from West Side Story, and I fully blanked on the second verse.
And that's everybody knows the song. That's a tough one to blank on.
So embarrassing. And then I don't even remember what happened. I think I blacked out.
I would have blacked out.
I don't remember the rest of the song.
I remember my good friend F. Michael Haney, who has done like all of my concerts.
Insane, by the way. I worked with him he did your concert, but I've worked with him on something and I can't remember what it is.
Well, he does everything, so it's no surprise that you've probably worked with him in the past. He's crazily talented, and as a songwriter, he's way talented. And this guy has come to all of my concerts and performed my songs and crushed it every single time.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing, he had a concert, and it was like, I thought I was like, I had 6 more songs until it was my song, so I got up to go to the bathroom. And he saw me stand up and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, Drew Gasparini. And I got on stage. I was so caught off guard. I blanked on his lyrics so hard. I had to pull out a sheet and stop him and like try to find where I was in the song. It was mortifying. And I feel so bad to this day. That's an embarrassing moment for me. Antonio, what is something you're insecure about?
I have a lot of insecurities.
Very human of you.
I like am weirdly very insecure about a lot of things, mainly about my body. There's a lot of things that I got going on in my head.
What the fuck? You're an athlete and a actor, and how in the shit? What
no,
the
no,
fuck?
No, dude. Trust me, I am. Wow.
What is it? Your nipples. Your nipples are too big. That's my guess. Is that one of the insecurities?
That's one of them. They're not too big. They're like They're not like flat. They're like a little bit. I shouldn't be.
Oh, you got. Oh, you have puffy. You got puffy nipples.
Yeah, they're a little bit puffy, and I hate them. And I have to like make them like not puffy.
I think that you should create a cereal called Nipple Puffs, and that would be, you'd be like the spokesperson for it. And you could say, no need to add milk, they lactate themselves.
That would be amazing. Shit, okay.
All right, I don't want to, we don't have to go down the list of your insecurities. Save that for your therapist, but here's another question. Last question for you from me, and then we're going to hop to Twitter questions from fans.
Cool.
What is the most attractive thing about me, Drew Gasparini?
Shit, I mean, everything.
I know, it's like, where do you begin?
It's where do I begin, truly. Yeah. I love your hats. My brother, because you wear that like type of hat all the time, and it's
all the time.
It's like the ones with the animals, and it's like the cock or like the...
Yep, all the time.
I got, my brother has a cock one, and my dad has a silver fox one. We got it for his, for Father's Day.
I love it. I have like 30 of these hats because for a minute I was in a band with my sisters called Saint Adeline, and while we were touring, we had this like folky thing, and we used to do this whiskey hour in our whiskey minute in our concerts, and we'd all raise a toast and drink some whiskey. But it was sponsored by Gorin Brothers, so I used to get sent hats from them, and I have like 30 of these hats from Gorin Brothers.
Like, your style is honestly, I'm very envious of it. Like, it's so just badass and like chilly. I'm going to do this.
Look at us.
Rock it out of the park. And I'm going to do it just looking pretty freaking fly. I'm like, I got this cool ass hat on. I got my jacket, and I am a badass. And that's all. I envy that so much, truly.
Well, that's, come on. The kindness. Look at us jerking each other off like this. Antonio, you're such a sweetheart. Let's move on to some Twitter questions from fans. I'm going to say the name of their handle. You might recognize some of these people just as fans who bug you from day to day on Twitter. This comes from at Liv Raina.
Amazing.
This is kind of a silly question because I feel like there's also photo evidence of this. I don't even know why I'm asking this question, but here we go. Did Renee Rapp ever come see you in Jagged Little Pill?
She came to the opening night, yes.
That's right, and it's well documented. Those pictures exist on Getty Images. Go check them out, people.
So good on the freaking Walk of Fame or whatever it's called.
It's called the Step and Repeat.
Step and Repeat. That I blanked again. There you go.
So yeah, it's all right. It's that COVID fog. You both clean up real nice. All right. We're going to move past that because that's kind of a silly one. Here we go. Davey Veith. I don't know who that is, but that is his handle on Twitter. He asks, have you made a lot of young friends in the industry?
Absolutely. I got lucky with Celia in my show. I mean, we were both the same age, and we were both 17 when we started, so we became best friends. Obviously, Renee and Andrew, and like all of those, pretty much all the young people. Sammy Williams, who was going to be in Carolina Change, but everything shut down. Hopefully, she'll be able to come back. Yeah, just all of the young people you can think of, I'm probably friends with because they're all so talented and I love them all. So,
and you guys really do have kind of a collective together in just terms of, it's like a posse. I'm like jealous of it. I was like, how do I get to hang out with these kids? And then I'd be the weird older guy hanging out and being like, you guys need booze? And I'd buy you guys alcohol.
Dude, no. Renee just turned 21 too.
Woo woo, go get it, Renee. You better buy those bottles. Damn. Here's a question just for me. Have you met, become friends with a lot of older people in the industry?
Absolutely. I think that everyone, what do you mean by old? Like older? because you
would say
anyone under like 55 is very young to me. So I don't like,
well, that's not to me. I'm tell those old bags, with the time they turn 50, I'm like, you should retire. Give it up, old man. I say that to a lot of people in this industry. I guess a better question would be, have you found someone who's really mentored you?
Yeah. This guy named Drew, I don't know. Weird guy, weird. I don't know. He wears weird hats and shit. I don't know. But obviously you have mentored me, even though we haven't really, like, we've not worked together. We haven't worked together, but like, there's some connection there that I don't know. It's sparked.
I'm telling you, man alive. I just, when someone started showing me the footage of you and some of the songs that you've posted, I was like, who the fuck is this kid? And I got really, really obsessed with your output of talent and the natural way you seem to do it. I remember meeting you because Renee sang.
Renee had
yes, that's right.
I came to her rehearsal for you.
You were just a stranger to me. I was just like happy to meet you, a guy who comes in and you're hanging with Renee. I say, what up? Nice to meet you. And then I think I saw you at the concert later on, a couple days later. But I believe it was F. Michael Haney who was like, you should check out stuff that he does, like footage of, there's all this footage of all you young guys from things you've done on YouTube like years ago. I don't know if you realize that, but lots of things exist. And it's easy to kind of put a thumb on the pulse of what you youngsters are up to. I'm making it sound like I'm one of these 55-year-old hacks. But I'm 30. I'm 34. I'm happy with that number. Okay, we're going to move on from that question. Just a couple more Twitter questions before we say some final words, if that's cool with you. Mm-hmm. I love this Twitter handle. This is my favorite Twitter handle I've ever seen because clearly there were so many Lucys that she had to pick. At Lucy 811-34012, what is your favorite Star Wars character?
Okay, so I've been asked this before on Twitter, and I decided to make a joke and freak people out and say Jar Jar Binks because I just thought it would be hilarious because I knew
people would
get upset. So my true favorite Star Wars character and who I've always wanted to be and grow up to be is Anakin, obviously. I mean, can't you tell? I grew out my hair because I want to be Anakin. So he is definitely him, and Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan are my favorite characters.
Wow, you really like that generation of the Star Wars movies, though.
Oh my god, the prequels! I know people don't like them, but they were what shaped me as a Star Wars fan. So, like,
God bless, God. You know, I'm really regretting not playing Fuck, Marry, Kill Star Wars Edition. I think that would have been amazing.
I would have been
for
down
next
for that.
Time. Okay, last question from Twitter. Do we have a couple more here? Hold on, let me see here. Which one's better? I'll just do one more. All right, this is a pretty good one. Or did we already cover this? We already covered this. Here's one more. This is from Sammy_LIB0R.
Cool.
I don't know what that means. Liber? Maybe that means a word. Okay, Twitter handles are hard to navigate. Yeah. Here we go. She says, can you give us your opinion about High School Musical? What is your overall opinion about High School Musical?
This is another one that sparks some frustration amongst the people. And I don't know if you're a High School Musical fan. Are you into High School Musical at all?
Like, I think I'm like one generation too old to like be a fan, but I, you know, it's entertaining. I enjoy the music. I like what I've seen.
Yeah. So I think that the third High School Musical is the superior movie. I think it can stand alone, truly. So when people say that like the second movie is the best, I'm so passionate about this because you don't understand. You have to see the movie to understand. Like, it's an amazing. I mean, it can stand alone, but it works so well with all three movies that it is a real movie because you get so emotional at the end. But also, all the best songs are in the third movie, and everyone is like blowed up into their prime. Like everyone is super hot in the movie. Like it's just like everyone is. It's like a perfect film, and I love it.
Okay, this talk about the biggest Oscar snub of all time. High School Musical 3 wasn't even in the contention for that.
I am still so upset about that to this day. God.
We're going to write letters. We're going to sign petitions, create the hashtag. High School Musical 3 should have won the Oscar.
Wow, we need to do that. Oh, my God.
We need to do that. Let's get it going. Make a movement happen. Antonio, before we bounce off here, because I've taken up about an hour of your time, and that's more than enough because you are a new TV star. This is what you are now. You're a guy in show business who can qualify himself as a TV star. I'm so happy you took the time to talk to me, and I just want to say this to you. Awesome. Your success is so inspiring to see, and the way that you present yourself and hold yourself in the world of toxic social media is a delight. I really like that you seem to have the backs of all the other young people you surround yourself with. It really inspires an old asshole like me. I really do appreciate what I see. And that being said, guys, find Antonio on all his social medias. And if you haven't become the biggest fan of his, just wait till the TV show comes out and wait till Broadway's back up and running, because not only is Jagged Little Pill going to come back, but rest assured, this is a real petition you can start. Antonio as Daniel LaRusso in Karate Kid, the musical. Yes. I would love to see it. We've tried to start a petition for Colton Ryan to play Johnny Lawrence. So if it ever comes down to it that you're Daniel LaRusso and he's Johnny Lawrence, all of my dreams will be made. That's for sure.
Yeah. Oh my God.
But thanks again for doing this, my friend. And you're a delight.
You're a delight. This was so awesome. You exceeded all expectations, even though my expectations were high as hell, because I knew it was going to be amazing.
Antonio Cipriano, man, he's the real deal. Really love that guy. Thanks for listening, everybody. Now We're Talking's a proud member of the Broadway Podcast Network. You know him, you love him. You can find out more about me and this podcast at bpn.fm/Now We're Talking. Also, follow my stinky ass on Instagram and Twitter and on TikTok at Drew Gasparini. Of course, TikTok is at the Drew Gasparini. Don't ask. Special thanks to our guest, Antonio Cipriano, and all you listeners. Make sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you stream your podcasts, and keep tuning in for more amazing guests each week. Guys, I love you. I love you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.